Chabad has a Caulfield. Chabad has a Caulfield. Everybody uses the area as far as I know, including the Rabbi's family. Slowing for shoulders. That's okay. If you have an area, you can do a credit card too. Yeah, says the Mishnah. Daf Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph. Yeah. No Mishnah on the top. Mavin Eitzim Min Hasada. So we're still continuing on this topic of Yontif, things that are mukta, different bits of wood that you want to use for firewood, etc. Says the Mishnah. Mavin Eitzim Min Hasada Min Hamachunas. You're allowed to bring, if you have to bring wood from the field. Yeah. So it's out in the field. So Min Hamachunas, if it's already been sort of gathered together and prepared on Erev Yontif, and it's piled up, so that means that you were like preparing it beforehand, so it's muchan, and therefore you can bring it in from the field on Yontif. Or min hakarfif, afilu min hamafuzar. So a sada is a wide open place out in the middle of whoop whoop, so therefore it's only not muktzah if it's prepared. Masha'en kain in the karfif. Karfif is a paddock which has a fence around it, so it's more secure property. So then says the Mishnah, afilu min hamafuzar, even if the wood is scattered, and the wood is scattered generally when it's born, then you can collect it from the karfif, from the paddock. Ezahu karfif, which paddock am I talking about? Kol shesamuch la'ir, as long as it's close to the city, so it's not very far away, then you can, we'll see exactly what the parameters are, then you can bring it in on Yontif for your fireplace. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Emer, kol shenichnasim loy bepesachas. What sort of karfif does it need to be? One that has a key. You lock the gate with your padlock, yeah? So then it's secure. So that's considered prepared beforehand. And then you can bring it in. You need the fuel for your stove to cook, whatever. Vafila b'seyat chum Shabbos, even if it's far. Now this sounds funny, even b'seichat chum. What he means there is, even if it's far away, but it's as long as it's still b'seichat chum. Yeah, so not doesn't have to be samach l'ir, but even if it's only mile is that it's within the tchum, within 2,000 amas of the city, that's also good enough. It doesn't have to be mamish samach.
Are you making right? So the
Gemara is going to say, what do they mean by this? So let's do the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel said, so Shmuel's an Amora. So Shmuel Paskin, not talking about the Mishnah in particular. You can only take it from if it's prepared beforehand, it's gathered together, and it's in a paddock. Yeah, so that doesn't seem like a Mishnah, no? But a Mishnah, Rav Yehuda said, it has to be, if it's for karfif, if it's a paddock, then even if it's scattered. Yeah? And if it's mechudas, if it's gathered together, even in a field. And Shmuel says it has to be both gathered and in a paddock. So it needs like a bit more preparation before. So the Gemara asked straight away, we learned in our Mishnah, min karfif, afilu min hamafuzarim. If it's gathered together, then, in fact, this is according to everybody. Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi are arguing about what's a karfif, but if it is in a karfif, whatever the definition of karfif is, it can be even scattered. As if it can be scattered, why does Shmuel say it has to be gathered together before you're allowed to bring it in on Yontif? So answers the Gemara, Masnisin Ichidoihi, even though our Mishnah, so the first part of our Mishnah is learned as a stam. Before you get to the Machloikis, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi, the first part is learned as a stam, but really it's a opinion of only one individual, of a yachid, and the Chachamim argue. The Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Om Rav Shimon Elazar. Who is the yachid that we're talking about? Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar says, Lenechleku b'shamayim b'silol al mfuzorin shabesodah. So he relates to a previous generation argument between b'shamayim and b'silol. And he says that b'shamayim and b'silol do not argue al mfuzorin shabesodah. If it's scattered and in the field, then it's for sure no good, yeah? Because it's got two things less prepared. Number one, it's still scattered. And number two, it's in a field which is just open to the elements. So then everyone agrees, b'sham and b'silol, she'ein mevi'im, that you're not allowed to bring such wood in on Yomtif for your oven. V'alam chunosin shebekarfif, if it's gathered, number one, you gathered it before Yomtif, and number two, it's in a karfif, so it's got two good reasons why you should be able to take it in on Yomtif. Shemevin, everyone agrees you can. So if it's got two reasons not to carry, everyone agrees you cannot. not to bring it in. I mean, if you got two reasons why you should be able to, everyone agrees that you can. Is that Alban Echlaku, so you can see what's coming. What's the argument? When it's only got one reason why you should be able to and one reason why you should not be able to. So, Alam Fuzorin Shebekarfif, if it's scattered but it's in a secure paddock, or Alam Chonosin Shebesodis, if it's gathered, you gathered it before but it's out on the field. So those each has one good reason, one bad reason. Is that's when the argument is Shebeshama say you're not allowed to, Besil Lemim Yavi and Besil say you may. So I have the Stam Mishnah, which we just learned, which says that mina karfif even min mefusa, that means one good thing and one bad thing, and eitzim mina mechunis, one good thing, one bad thing, is allowed, is according to Beis Hillel, the way Rabbi Shimon Elazar learns the argument of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, that Beis Hillel permit when there's only one good thing. But the Chachamim will argue and say, no, that even according to Beis Hillel, you would need to have a karfif and mechunis. So usually when it's a Stam Mishnah, it's the halacha is like that. So why doesn't Shmuel Paskin like that, you want to know? Yeah, so... Yeah, but obviously Shmuel did hear it. Yeah, so these are valid questions. And obviously Shmuel had a Kabbalah that is of this Braiser. Yeah, and therefore even though it was a Stam in the Mishnah, but Rebbe obviously didn't include that in the it was a Braiser, so Rebbe Yehuda obviously didn't include that in the Mishnah, but Shmuel obviously learned that Braiser and he decided that it was a Das Yachid even though there's no name in it, and therefore he goes and he chooses to go not like that and say you need both. Okay, so that's about wood out in the field. We haven't come to discussing the argument about the what sort of karfif we're talking about. Now, just related to that, when we talk about gathering things together, so you gather a pile of wood and put it in a pile, generally a pile of wood stays there. So that's considered buchan, and when you come back the next day to get it, it's prepared. So that's good. Is Omar Rava just points out that if you have Ale Kanim but Ale Gufanim, if it's not branches of wood, but it's like leaves of Kanim of reeds and leaves of a vine, Afal Gafte Mechanfilahu, even if he did gather it together Erev Yomtiv, Umoisvi, and he put it to sit in a pile, it's no good. Because Kaven de Imadli Zika Mivdalahu, since if the wind blows, they're just leaves, yeah? So the wind will just blow, the leaves will scatter again. If it's a pile of wood, the wind isn't going to scatter it. But if it's a pile of leaves, the wind is going to scatter it. Is kimafuzorim domu. Therefore, even though it's not scattered yet, even though the wind didn't blow, but since if the wind blew, it would scatter it, therefore it's considered as if it's already scattered, or still scattered, if you like. And therefore, vasurin, therefore you may not bring them in on yontif. That's not considered muchen. That's not enough prepared to make it permitted to bring it in on Yom Tov to feed your oven. But if you put something on top of it, you had a paperweight or a clear, you put something on top to hold it down, sharper dummy, that's okay. So it's just poshut, a practical thing. If it's in a state where it's going to stay in its pile, that's considered mulchan. If it's in a state where one wind gust will come and scatter it all again, then it's not considered prepared. Okay, so that's about preparation. Now the next part of the Mishnah was Ezehu Karfif. What was the definition of a paddock? So we're not really defining paddock from a farming perspective. We're talking about a security perspective. So we said it's considered mukhan, i.e. not muksa, if it's in the secure paddock. So what's the definition of a secure paddock? Is it boy lohu? The question is, this argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, how is it working? What do they mean to say? When Rabbi Yehuda says samach le'ir, and Rabbi Yossi talks about having a key, a padlock. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda didn't say anything about the lock. And so therefore, what is Rabbi Yehuda saying about a lock when he says anything close to the city is considered a mucha? Did he say kol shesamuch le'ir v'huda is lepasachas? Is he saying it has to be near the city? But he agrees also it has to have a key. So he needs both good things to make it mucha. And Rabbi Yossi is coming to be lenient. We also Rabbi Yossi Lameima, Rabbi Yossi is coming to be lenient to say that Kevin de Isle Pesachas, if it's under lock and key, Afilu B'Seif Tchum Shabbos Nami, even if it's far away and it's not Samach La'ir. Just at the border of Tchum Shabbos, as far away as you can get and still be able to go there on Yontif, then it's good. So Rabbi Yossi is lenienter and says you only need one aspect. Once it's got a key, I don't care where it is. Oy Dilma, or perhaps Achika Amar, or maybe Rabbi Yehuda was saying that Kolsa Samoch La'ir Bein the Isle Pesachas Bein the Lesle Pesachas. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is saying the key is irrelevant, as long as it's close to the city. That's the determining factor, and I don't care about the key. If it's close to the city, is good. If it's not close to the city, is no good. V'yaseh Rabbi Yehuda Lameimar, and Rabbi Yehuda is coming to say, no, the distance is irrelevant, and it's the key that's the main thing. The key is the key to everything. I feel it was Tchum Shabbos, even if it's far away, I don't mind. But Dafke the Isle Pesachas, but it has to have a key. Avalesle Pesachas, without a key, I feel it's Samach Le'er Namilo. Even without a, without, even if it's closed, it's no good. So Rabbi Yehuda says the key is irrelevant, it's only the proximity. And Rabbi Yossi says the key is in, the key is the main thing, and the proximity doesn't matter, according to this, the Idilma, yeah? So which way is it?
It's going through my mind the whole time. Since this is a form of work, no. Why wasn't it made? It should be in your house already. Otherwise,
no, it's about hachana.
No, this is the whole thing. You would prepare wood, you would prepare wood sufficient for you, which is still a question. You don't want to go on to schlep, right? So you would have it. But since the question is the week to pile up and stuff, in other words, you have made it ready, but it's far away. Did you really have in mind that if I run out, I'll come here and I'll get it?
Yeah, and there's also an aspect of minimizing the effort. Yeah. Yeah, but so, yes. So the samach la'ir is going to be also about effort. The key won't make any difference to the effort, I suppose.
Initially, you should have
100%. The thing is, what's on the key? The key, so the fact that you have the keys is something like you need a band in a sense because you don't.
Yeah. So it's muksa.
Really prepared it for yourself.
That's right. So preparation makes it unmuksa. Yeah. Yeah. Toshima. So we want to know what's the actual parameters of this argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Is Toshima. So now we're learning out. We're working it out from the Mishnah. Midikatani, from the fact that the Mishnah says, look closely at the words of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol shenichnasin loy bepesachas, whatever has a key. But then he says, Afilu b'zeichum Shabbos, and even far away. So why does he mention the fact that it's far away? If Rabbi Yehuda had said that it's only to do with the... If Rabbi Yehuda had not mentioned the key, yeah, and Rabbi Yossi is coming to argue with him, Rabbi Yossi should have just said, if it's got a key, that's the determining factor. If the basis of the argument is, Rabbi Yehuda says it all depends on proximity. No, but listen to how Rabbi Yossi argued back to Rabbi Yehuda. If the Rabbi Yehuda's whole point is, if Rabbi Yehuda says that the key is irrelevant, yeah, then what's Rabbi Yossi arguing? That the key is the point. So it doesn't make a difference whether it's close or not. So what's he saying? Afilu b'tchum Shabbos. He should have just said, no, I don't care about where it is. It's the key that matters. Yeah? What does he mention the tchum Shabbos? Because he wants to argue with two things. That Rabbi Yehuda said that it has to be dafka close. Yeah? And if it's far away, even with the key, is no good. And Rabbi Yossi says the other way around. It has to be dafka the key. It's shma mino. Rabbi Yossi Tarti Lekula Komar. Rabbi Yossi says either one is good enough. That Afilu B'Tchum V'Seyat Tchum Shabbos. I'm sorry, I didn't think I explained that very well. Even if it's, Rabbi Yossi is saying, if it's far away, it's still good with a key. If it's close, then it's also good without a key. Because if it was only to do with the key, then he wouldn't have mentioned where the closeness is. Yeah, from the fact that he mentions two things. Yeah, that if it's a key, even if it's far away, that means to say that if there's no key, even if it's close, it's also good. So Rabbi Yossi is lenient in both directions. As long as you've got one good point, either it has a key or it's close by, that will be good enough, according to Rabbi Yossi. Shma mino. So that's a good from the. So Rabbi Yossi doesn't say clearly what he means, but from the way he argues with Rabbi Yehuda, you can see what he meant.
Well, you know, it's all sort of authentic.
No, they're arguing about what's the definition of a karfif. Yeah. So, bin a karfif, even bin a fuzer. What's a karfif? Rebbe says if it's got a key, it's a karfif, or if it's close to the city, it's a karfif. So that works. They're not arguing about whether you can bring minam a chunosim sheba karfif. They're only arguing what the definition of a karfif is. Yeah, so on that we can pass in like Rabbi Yossi if we want, that it's we're more lenient. Omer Absala, Omer Rabbi Yirmi, halachic Rabbi Yossi, lahakil. The halachic is like Rabbi Yossi, and in a lenient manner, that either one is good enough. Either it's got a key or it's close by, that will be enough to make it permitted to bring the wood in from there on Yom Tov, even if it's scattered. That was the, yeah? Oh, okay, so that's a separate question. But it's not going against Shmuel. Shmuel doesn't talk about the definition of a karfif. Shmuel's talking about whether it has to be mechunas or scattered. Yeah? And Rabbi Yeshua Bihuda didn't talk about that. Right? So, a karfif, it's either mutter scattered or it's mutter not scattered. But either way, what's a karfif? Yeah, so it's two different questions, really. Okay, let's go on to the Mishnah. We've got 7 more minutes. Says the Mishnah, Ein mevakim etzim, you're not allowed to chop wood on Yom Tov, lo min ha-koyreis, not if the wood was from beams, because that's not that was intended to be used for building, not for firewood, yeah? The law, I mean, I kovish an ishpur by Yom Tov, and even a beam that broke on Yom Tov, so now it's turned into firewood. It started off being a beam for building, but it turned into firewood. But since it broke on Yom Tov, that means it was muktzah when Yom Tov started, so therefore you cannot use it, chop it up, and put it in the furnace on Yom Tov either. The aim of vacuum, and when you do chop that which you're allowed to, also lo bekardum, not with a, I'll translate it as an axe or a hatchet, I don't know exactly, it's implements, we'll see there's different implements. For Leber Megera, not with a saw. For Leber Magel, not with a sickle. Or Ella Bekupitz, but with this other kind of, with a butcher's knife, which is, in other words, it's a shinui. A butcher's knife is not the usual way for chopping wood with. Yeah, okay, so says the Gemara like this. Fred, the Gemara, turn of the page. Via Marta, first of all, you started off Reisha, Emevak, and Klal. You started off by you're not allowed to chop, and then you said that you can do it with a kupitz. So, what exactly are you talking about over here? So, in other words, we thought that the reason is because of the work of chopping, not because of the muksanis of the wood. The person asking this question thought that when it says you can't chop wood, it's not because the wood is muksa, but it's because the chopping is too much. Like a malacha on Yom Tov, it's too much effort. So therefore, it says, well, if you're not allowed to do it, what's the difference if it's a beam that broke to a beam that didn't break? Yeah, it's so how come you're allowed to? Why are you allowed to use? If it's too much effort, you shouldn't be allowed to use the kardam and the megira and the magal either. So we say. So answers the Gemara. No, you didn't understand the pshat in the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Chasurim Echshur. So you have to edit the Mishnah. And put in some words like this. Ein mevakim says on the side. Eitzim, you can't chop wood. Minasavra shal koyres from a pile of beams. So you pile up the wood, the wood beams, getting ready for building the building. Yeah. So the carpenter, whoever, piles them up on the side there. So you're not allowed to chop those beams. And similarly, if it was when Yom Tov started, it was a beam, and now it broke on Yom Tov. Since it, by the time when Yom Tov started, it was still a beam, you can't chop that up. Aval mevakim in a kovish and ishpe me'erev Yom Tov. If it broke on erev Yom Tov, that means already on erev Yom Tov, he had in mind to use it for firewood. Then it's okay to chop it on Yom Tov. So that's number one. So that's mitzad muksa. Yeah, if it was set aside for building, then you're not allowed to use it for firewood. But if it was already on Erev Yom Tov ready for firewood, you can use it. That's number one. Uke shehem mevakin, and then number two. So that gets rid of the muktzah problem. Once you've got wood that's not muktzah, even then, when you do the chopping, you have to do it in a different way. You can't do what they call a maise uman. Yeah, ein mevakin lebekardum velebemagol velebemageri. You can't use these implements because that's like a professional tool. You can't use your professional chopping tool that you bought in Bunnings. Ella bekupitz, you can only use the butcher's knife. So it should be different from how you're doing it b'chol. Tani nami hachi v'lunin abraisa em nevakim etzim lemin asav shal kurs lemin akurs ishbaret b'yontif the fish ain't even a mukhim because it's muksa. So therefore we see it's two separate issues. The first part of the mishnah is talking about muksa, and then it goes on to talk about the method of chopping. Yeah? Okay, so that's clear. Now, v'loy kardum. So the Mishnah says you can't use a kardum. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Shlami mishmei derav leishanu ele benakvus shaloi. So a kardum looks like it's a two-pronged, probably the wrong word, a two-sided type of cutting implement which has a male and a female part. And it's Rashi says a narrow end and a thick end. I must admit, I don't understand exactly what this looks like. You need a picture. But it's some kind of a cutting thing which has got two sides to it. One is thick and one is thin. Yeah, and I suppose you use it for cutting different types. In general, as a professional cutter, you would use it to cut different types of things. So he says you can't use it on the female side, which is the wide part, he says. I don't know why that's the female bit. I guess because females are wider. The makabel. But the zachrus, which is the short and pointy end, is mutter, then you can use it, because that is not maisa umun. So the whole thing here is that you can't do it in a professional manner, you can only do it in an amateur manner. So a professional would use the nakfus side, so you can use the zakhfus side. Yeah. It's Freddy Gemara Pshita, that's obvious. But kupitz not, and a kupitz only has zakhfus. Kupitz isn't got two sides. A kupitz is a cutting implement that only has the one side, which is the male side. So obviously the Mishnah said you can only use a kupitz. That means if you have a kardum, you can only use the male side of the kardum. So the Gemara says, no, Mahuda Tema, you might have thought, what's the pshat in the Mishnah? Hani mili kupitz l'chodei. That's when it's a kupitz, it's only got zachrus, then you can use it. Aval kardum v'kupitz. But if you've got a two-sided thing, where one side is female and one side is male, you might have thought, since the female side is asur, and this is the same implement, you're just swapping it, turning it over, you would have thought, I can't use the other side either, because since it's attached to the asur side, I'd say that whole implement is asur. A hatchet? All I know about hatchets is you bury them.
It's got a blade or two sides.
It's got a thick blade and a thin blade. Yeah, the pointy blade. So you have to use the pointy end. So you might have thought that if it's got a blade on both sides and you're telling me I can't use the thin blade, then I shouldn't be allowed to use the whole implement, including the thick blade. It's kamash balon that if you're using the thick blade, it's okay, even if there's a thick blade on the thin blade on the other side. Yeah, so that's one way of learning. Some learn this going the other direction. That what the sefer said, Ela Bakupis, the only thing you're allowed to use is this two-sided hatchet. What can you use? The male side of it, the thin side. The thick side is also. Is again, the Gemara says, Pshita, the Mishnah said, Ela Bakardum. The Mishnah says you can't use a cardum, and a cardum is the female part. So therefore, I understand that you can't use the female part of the kupitz. The cardum's not. So the Gemara says, you would have thought the other way around. You would have thought a cardum is also to use the male, to use the female. So you would have thought the cardum is also because the whole thing is female. Of a kupitz for cardum, but if it's two-sided, Ema, you would have thought, since it's permitted to use the male side, is Hagisa Namishari. So therefore even the female side's mutter, because it depends on what the implement is, not which side you're using. Once the implement is okay, I don't care if you even turn it over. Kamash Malon, that it depends on whether it's an expert professional chopping going on here. Doesn't matter what the implement is so much, it matters on what type of blade you're using. So therefore the male blade is good no matter what the implement is, the female good is no good. Female part is no good no matter what sort of an implement it is. Male or female, yeah. Well, thin and thick. Yeah, this is a bit fine. You talk about male and female on a cable, USB cable. It's got the hole in the other bit. Okay, 7:30. Do you want to try to catch up tomorrow or?
If you've got a few more minutes, you can go to the arena.
Yeah, I don't. Unfortunately, I don't really. So. All right, we'll try to catch up tomorrow, and that we'll catch up on Friday. We'll try to catch up on Friday. Tomorrow's also Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah, it is Rosh Chodesh.
Still got that
going.
Some days always quick, we'll
not tomorrow, it's a minute later. We'll definitely take a much longer.